Well, take your Bibles again, and let's go back to our text. And a long passage of Scripture, there just wasn't any place to stop, to be honest with you. It just was all so good. And 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And I want to talk to you, actually it's a two-part message. And it's just a wonderful, wonderful little study. I've entitled it, Don't Be Surprised. And the reason, you know, as Christians, we really, there's not a whole lot that should surprise us because God has shown it to us. God's given us His Word. We who have been saved for a while, we've been able to hear a lot of messages. We've been able to study our Bibles. We've had the Holy Spirit to guide us into the truth of the Scripture. And so I want to give you some things that we should not be surprised about. Don't be surprised. And this morning I'll give you part one, and then tonight will be part two. Father, please bless the preaching. Thank you so much for everyone who's here today. We know there's no accidents, that everybody's here on purpose. You have something for us, and I pray that you'll help us to realize what all you've revealed to us in your word, that we'd fall in love with this book, that we'd read it, so that there wouldn't be any surprises, that we'd know things that you have revealed to us through your word, through your spirit. I pray that you'll help us to not be surprised at anything, and please bless now. If there's anyone here not saved, please save them today, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, life is full of surprises, and there's so many things that happen that we get surprised about. Sometimes it's planned. Brenda, she likes surprises. I've mentioned that before. She likes people to surprise her. She likes when I surprise her. I personally don't like surprises. I like to mark it on my calendar. I like to put down what's going to happen and everything. And I realize in life sometimes, just like all last week, we certainly didn't have that on the calendar. Didn't have any idea that that was going to happen. But there are some things that sad to say, we're going to be surprised about. In fact, words in the Bible like marvel not and think it not strange and those kind of things. The reason God says, hey, don't be shocked about it, don't be surprised about this, is God says, I told you. I already showed this to you. And I've already told you. Look at verse 10, if you would. He says, but God hath revealed them, these different things, He's revealed them unto us by His Spirit. You hear me pray often that, Holy Spirit, please guide us into the truth of the Scripture. Well, that's His job. He's not only is He our comfort, but He's also our guide. And He guides us into the Word of God through the Scripture and helps us to understand it. And He also convicts us. And so God uses that to reveal things to us from His Word, through His Word, by His Spirit. Verse 12, it says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. He wants us to know these things. We're talking about being a student on Wednesday nights and all the things God wants us to know. And He uses His Word to show us these things. And His Spirit, of course, guides us. Verse 13, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth. Why? Man's wisdom can't understand it. Man's wisdom cannot grasp the things of God. Okay, if you come to church today and you want something out of man's wisdom, that is what I hope you don't get. I want you to get something from the Spirit of God that will guide us to know something that He wants us to know. It says, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. And here's why the unsaved struggle. Here's why they can't get it. Here's why Fox News doesn't understand. CNN, they don't grasp it. These politicians, you know, that are not saved. It says, verse 14, but the natural man, the unsaved man, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually dead. They don't get it. They don't understand it. They think we're nuts. They think we're crazy. But see, we get it because it's revealed to us through the Word of God. We can get it. We can understand it. And so I looked up some things, actually found 11 references, but I have 10 points, half this morning and half tonight, that just simply entitled, Don't Be Surprised. Why? Because these are things God showed us. God made clear in His Word. The Holy Spirit guides us, and we can understand it. We can see it, and we should never be surprised about these things. Number one, the first thing is the position of the Son. Don't be surprised at the position of the S-O-N, the Son of God. Don't be surprised. Go to John chapter 5 and verse 17. John chapter 5 and verse 17. You know, we just celebrated Christmas. In fact, we talked about this in my Revelation class. And the idea that we celebrated Christmas. And boy, you know, if the devil could, he'd love to just keep that little baby in a manger. If the devil, you know, if somehow the devil and the world and that crowd could have just kept that little baby in a manger, they'd still let us have manger scenes, right? If he just stayed as a little baby in a manger. But we know that's not true. How do we know? Because the Bible tells us. That's how we know. The position of the Son, John 5 and verse 17. But Jesus answered them, and Jesus often got into it with the Jews and the Pharisees and the scribes, and he answered them, "My Father worketh hitherto, and I work." The Jews didn't like it. Notice verse 18. Therefore, the Jews sought the more to kill him because he not only had broken the Sabbath, oh, perish the thought, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. They got it, and they were angry. He's making himself God. Oh, no. No, he didn't make himself. He is God. Amen. But the world doesn't get it. The Jews, they saw that he was doing that, but they certainly couldn't accept that. And then answered Jesus and said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise." Well, it sounds to me like he's saying he's God. "For the Father loveth the Son and showeth him all things that himself doeth. And he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will." By the way, he did. Jesus ruined every funeral that he went to because the dead came alive. Amen. Including his own, by the way. "For the Father judgeth no man," "but hath committed all judgment unto the Son." Wait a minute, you talk about that little baby that was laying in the manger? You're talking about the one who rode in on a donkey into Jerusalem and wasn't on a white horse conquering and ready to conquer? Yes, that's exactly the one. He, the Bible says, is committed. All judgment is to him. Wow. That all men should honor the Son. You see it? Boy, isn't it something in our day we can't even, they don't even want us to use the name of Jesus anymore. And my Bible says that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. Why? Because they are the same. "He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which has sent him." Again, this is Jesus speaking to the Jews. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. And verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man." Look what he says. Marvel not at this. Don't be surprised. Don't be shocked. Marvel not at this. It's been revealed. I've shown you in the Word the position of the Son. Understand, Jesus had no place to lay his head. He was born in a manger among the sheep. He rode into Jerusalem on a donkey. He was beaten by soldiers, punched, and nailed to a cross. He was crucified, but do not be surprised. He is God. And he left heaven's glory and put on a robe of flesh so he could die on a cross to pay for our sins. But that one who died on the cross, that one that submitted himself to the cat of nine tails, the whip of man, and to those rusty spikes driven into his hands and feet, that one is God. And he is the judge of all men. Verse 27, hath given him authority to execute judgment. Wow. Wow. Look at Revelation 19, 11. Just studied it in our Revelation class. You say, you're only on Revelation 19. Well, it's been like 3 years, I guess. Revelation 19, verse 11. Boy, the battle of Armageddon, not much of a battle, is it? And I saw heaven opened. Isn't that good? And behold, a white horse. Wait, where's the little donkey? Where's the little baby donkey that he rode? That donkey's gone. Understand, now it's a white horse. A white horse is significant because that means victory and conquering. And behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. Look what it says. In righteousness he doth judge and make war. Wow, that's not that little baby in a manger. That's exactly why Satan hates that little baby, because that little baby is going to grow up and he's going to live a perfect life and he's going to die for the sins of mankind and they're going to crucify him and he's going to be buried in a tomb. But up from the grave, he arose and he's going to be back. He's coming again and he'll be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And the Bible says his eyes were a flame of fire and on his head were many crowns and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood and his name is called the Word of God. And boy, don't be surprised at the position of the Son. Don't be surprised at the position of the Son. Go ahead, atheists, deny him. Go ahead, atheists, mock him. Go ahead, atheists, make your laws to remove his name from everything that man does. But I've got news for you. One of these days, he will stand as your judge. Go ahead, Satan. Go ahead. Cackle at the destruction you cause. Go ahead. Go ahead, Satan worshipers. Curse him. Go ahead and offer your sacrifices to Satan. Go ahead and conjure up demons for whatever purpose you may have. Go ahead. But one day he's the judge, and you will be cast into the lake of fire. Go ahead. Lost mankind, ignore him. You're here today without Christ. Go ahead and ignore him. Go ahead and say, you know, I'm going to do my own thing. I'm going to live my own life. I'm going to do what I want to do. Go ahead. But one of these days, you will face him as judge. One of these days, you will face him. And I've got news for you. Were any of us to stand and have to face him as judge, every one of us would be guilty because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But because he shed his precious blood, those of us who have trusted Christ as our Savior, we're not guilty. We will never be found guilty. Praise the Lord. But don't be surprised. One day, he's coming again to judge the world. You refuse salvation? We just talked about the Battle of Armageddon. He speaks! And the voice that created all things, the voice that spoke to a fig tree and withered it, the voice that spoke to the raging sea and the winds that blew the waves and calmed it, the voice that spoke to a legion of demons possessing a man and cast him out, that same voice will speak, and the armies of the Antichrist and all that they have, they'll pop like grapes, and blood will fill the valley, the Bible says. That's the same Jesus. Boy, the song of the choir, wasn't that good? The name of Jesus. It's the same Jesus. I spoke in Sunday school, and I talked about he speaks, and the sound of his voice is so sweet, so soft. That's when I'm walking and talking with him. But on this day, it's the voice of the judge. It's the voice of guilty. And judgment will be carried out. Don't be surprised at the position of the Son. He's no longer the little babe in the manger. He's no longer riding in on a colt of a donkey. He's no longer being beaten and cursed and punched and smitten and hung on a cross. No, 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 no. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Don't be surprised at the position of the Son. But then that leads me to number two, and that is this. And I'm telling you, the world's doing everything, and churches are doing everything to get us away from this. Not only don't be surprised at the position of the Son, but don't be surprised at the punishment of sinners. Folks, we know what the Bible says. There is more in the Bible. You know, it's amazing how many theologians want to talk about heaven, but they will always avoid hell. I'm talking about people that should know better, people that should know their Bibles, people that talk about, we study our Bible. I mean, they will talk all day about heaven and they'll preach about heaven, but they won't say a word about hell when the Bible says more about hell than it says about heaven. You and I need to understand we should not be surprised at the punishment of sinners. Go back to John 5 again. And I'm keeping my place here in 1 Corinthians, but go back to John chapter 5 for the next 2 points, actually. John chapter 5. And right there at the last part of that passage that we read, it tells us, when he says, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice." And watch what it says, "And shall come forth they that have done good unto the resurrection of life." And boy, we want to talk about that, and we love that, and that's wonderful. But what about this second part? "They that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." The punishment of sinners. Don't be surprised at that, folks. I mean, not one of us should be surprised when the truth about hell becomes obvious as people are in hell. And the Bible says they go to eternal damnation. Man has been warned about that. Over and over and over in the Scripture, we know what the Bible says. And besides that, deep down in our hearts, we know that there has to be punishment. It amazes me how a people can understand there has to be punishment, and yet we will let so many things go nowadays. You know? We used to get a hold of it. We used to understand it. We used to believe, well, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. A father, if he loves his child, he'll chasten him. We understood punishment. We understood what jail was about. We understood what prison was about. We weren't ready to pardon everybody that did wrong. We were ready to say, you know what? There's punishment for sin. Man's been warned about his sin. You know, in our thinking today, well, if you're going to punish sin, that's wrong. It's hard to believe, really, that anybody would follow that who has a Bible. Anyone, and by the way, the reason that we're turning in our nation is because people aren't reading their Bible anymore. And they're not hearing the Bible preached anymore. You know, the Bible says, God is not willing that any should perish. God is long-suffering. Don't get confused with his long-suffering. Don't be confused by the fact that God is not willing that any should perish. Please, don't be confused about that. God loves us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. But don't misunderstand. God did that so we could be saved. But God punishes sin. God punishes sin. He always will punish sin. In Luke 16, the Bible says the rich man is in hell, and the rich man, please read it sometime. He never questioned why he was there. I mean, the Bible just says he's in hell. And he makes a request that isn't going to happen, but he never says, "Why am I here? What am I doing here?" He's a rich man. I mean, I'm sure he didn't do a whole lot of things that we would call bad sin. But the rich man's in hell and he never questions why. You know why? He knows why he's there. My Bible says that the great white throne judgment, every mouth will be stopped. There's nothing to say. Because the word of God makes us guilty. And we're sinners. There's punishment for sin. And the rich man knew why he was there. You're here today and you've never been saved. Don't be surprised when you end up in hell. Don't be surprised when that day comes and you don't know when you're going to die. Don't be surprised when it's recorded in hell, and your name is there, lift up their eyes being in torment. Because that's exactly what's going to happen. But Christian friends, let's never let the world get us away from this idea there's punishment for sinners, because all of a sudden we don't care. We start thinking, well, it's not going to be so bad. It is going to be bad. It is bad already for people in hell. We must tell people about Jesus Christ, because sin must be punished. Thank God Jesus took it for us. But for that person that refuses Jesus and the price he paid, that person will be punished in a place called hell. The punishment for sinners, don't be surprised. Don't be surprised. Don't be surprised, number one, at the position of the Son. Don't be surprised, number two, at the punishment of sinners. But don't be surprised, number three, at the plan of salvation. We can't be surprised about that, because the Bible says back in John chapter 5, and shall come forth they that have done good unto the resurrection of life. Oh yeah, there's life. God has a plan. You know, we who know our Bible, we understand God plans everything. He revealed that to us. Throughout the scripture, we see God's plan in everything. You know, he plans everything. It seems, you know, how's this all going to happen? Look, God has it all under control. He's got a plan for everything. It should not surprise us there's a plan of salvation. And it should not surprise us either that it has absolutely nothing to do with anything we do. Why? Because we're sinners. Because he told us in Isaiah 64 that our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. But he has a plan, and he plans everything. Look at creation. He planned it all. Look at our bodies. I mean, again, anytime somebody goes through a surgery, and Brother Dice and I were talking after his surgery, and you know, it's amazing when they describe the surgery. We were getting texts all the way as we were driving to the other side of Illinois. We were getting texts. And one of the texts said, his heart is out of his chest and he's on the machine. And you get that text, and it's not the same as somebody talking on the phone. It's black and white text. And it's like, wow, his heart is out. It's on ice. We had a nurse or somebody that works in the surgery room, and they described what they did one time. They had to hold the heart in the ice for an hour, perfectly still. Fingers in the ice, holding a man's heart. Here's what Gary said to me when he could talk after his surgery. He looked at me and he said, man, I'm getting sermons. By the way, that's what preachers do. When they're sitting and there's nothing else to do, they're working on sermons. Amen? And that's what he said. He said, I'm getting a sermon. He said, boy, it's so good. He said, my heart was out. It was out. It wasn't doing anything. I should have been dead if it's all about the heart. But folks, guess what? God knew it's not all about the heart. The Bible says the life of the flesh is in the what? It's in the blood. It's not about the heart, it's about the blood. And as long as you got blood going through there, carrying oxygen all over the body, everything's okay. You know all the heart is? It's just a pump. Isn't that something? He said, I'm getting a message about it. I said, good, because I'm going to preach it Sunday morning at your church. He didn't like that. Wasn't much he could do, though. But you know, God had that all planned. Had it all planned that blood would take oxygen, because your little toesies need blood, amen? And your hair, away all the way up in here when you have hair, all that needs blood up in there. Everything needs blood, and he's got a heart in there to pump it. Isn't that something? God has it all figured out. And that heart, when they take it out, do you understand? I mean, my understanding is, of course, they have to saw the chest open and all that, but they take that out, and then we got a text that said his heart is back in his chest, and it started. And all of a sudden, I thought, huh? It started. you know, rum, 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 you know, it started. Isn't this something? You know, click. You know, a little switch on the heart. Click. Okay, you're on now. Isn't God good? But he's got it all planned. Your eyes, your ears, your, it's all planned. Look at our bodies alone. Show us there's a plan. Our fingerprints, ours aren't alike. Our heel print, it's not alike. Our DNA, God has it all planned. Just listen to me. It only makes sense he would plan salvation, doesn't it? I mean, if he is the judge and if there is a punishment for sinners, and if he really loves us, like he said, it only makes sense. He'd have a plan so we wouldn't have to go to hell. It just makes sense. So don't be surprised that there is a plan of salvation. How many religions out there would say, well, you know, it's kind of like rolling dice, you know, and I hope it all works out. What a terrible way to live. What a terrible thought. That, well, I just hope it all works out. No, today I can know. Because God had a plan. A plan of salvation. Don't be surprised. Before this world was ever created, God had a plan. Slain, it says about Jesus, from the foundation of the world. In the mind of God Almighty, he knew he'd send his son to die. Because he had a plan. We see the plan of God. So it only makes sense. Go to John 3, verse 1. John chapter 3 and verse 1. It just makes sense that God would have a plan of salvation. John chapter 3 and verse 1. Here's a fella, studied the Bible, knew the Bible. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This guy, I mean, we're talking about, he's a Sunday school teacher. He's a leader. He knows his Bible. Says the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You know, Nicodemus, he just didn't get it. And it says, Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? You know, that's what he's trying to figure out. And that sounds ridiculous. Well, how in the world? I mean, you can't do that. That's exactly right. You can't do that. And Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. He's talking about two births, right? Marvel not, Jesus said. He said, don't be surprised. Come on, Nicodemus. Maybe he called him Nick. I don't know. You know, come on, you've read the Old Testament. Come now, therefore, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Sounds to me like something happens. He said, come on, you read Isaiah 53. Come on, marvel, don't be surprised. You must be born again. Don't be surprised. God has a plan. Why? Because the first time we're born into the devil's family. Second time we're born into God's family. And the plan makes it all possible. Why? Because sin can't enter into heaven, that's why. No sin can enter into heaven. Never will. Never has, it won't. Amen. But we're born sinners. Romans 5:12 says that. And we sin. Romans 3:23 says that. And so Jesus said, here's the solution right here. I have a plan. I'm going to die on a cross. And then man can be born again. He can be born of the Spirit. Not entering into his mother's womb again. That would be being born like you were the first time. Of water. The second time, you're born of the Spirit. And when I was 17 years old, be 40 years coming up very, very soon. You know, wow, 40 years since I called upon Jesus Christ to forgive me and save me. And I was born of the Spirit right then, right there. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Amen. Not a sinful creature anymore. Oh, he still sins, but but in the eyes of God, not a sinful creature. Now I can go to heaven. Why? Because I was born of the Spirit. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Don't be surprised at the plan of salvation. Hey, don't be surprised. Folks, it works. It still works. You say nobody wants to hear it. Somebody wants to hear it because people are still getting saved. It works. It's God's plan. And even if people reject it, it's still God's plan for people being saved. There is no other plan. Jesus said, I am the way. There isn't any other way. It's the plan. Look real quick, Psalm 98, verse 2. Nick, or Nicodemus, did you read Psalm 98? You know the Old Testament. Probably had it memorized. Psalm 98, verse 2. The Lord hath made known his salvation. His righteousness hath he openly showed in the sight of the heathen. God's made it known to the heathen. God's made it known to all of us. It's been revealed, as our passage said. God has revealed the position of the Son, the punishment of sinners, the plan of salvation. I'm telling you, you should not leave this place today lost. You should not leave here unsaved. Nobody should go from this place and ever enter into hell. Ever. Because God has revealed it to you. You've heard it. You're a sinner. You deserve punishment for your sin. Jesus took that punishment for you. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Oh, listen, don't be surprised. There is a plan of salvation. Number four, don't be surprised at the peace for the saved. Go to Mark chapter 5 real quick. Mark chapter 5. Don't be surprised at the peace for the saved. It's funny to me how sometimes we just don't get it. And yet God has shown us over and over and over and over again. Here's a fellow that they came over, chapter 5 of Mark. They came over onto the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. Everybody knows this story. When he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, met Jesus, who had his dwelling among the tombs. No man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains. The chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. Here's a fella possessed with demons. Somebody says, you know, I'm kind of fascinated by that kind of thing. I kind of like to study the occult, and you need to stay as far away from it as you can. Because here's a man, this is what Satan will get you. This is what the devil's crowd will get you. This is how it goes for them. And always night and day, he's in the mountains and in the tombs crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him. Isn't that interesting? Why? Because the Bible says the devils, they believe and tremble. And cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. Demons know more than most men. They got our first point right, the position of the Son. Look what they said. What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? Yeah, boy, they're scared. For he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, what is thy name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. Many demons were in this man. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. And by the way, you know, some of these people, these shootings and knifings and the violence and all the stuff we see, do not think that demons aren't involved in a lot of that stuff. Drug people freaking out, and alcoholics and everything else, don't be surprised at the demonic activity. It's real. And now there was there, nigh unto the mountains, a great herd of swine feeding, and all the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. The swine didn't even like. Pigs were smarter than most humans. Amen. You know, you want to run with the devil's crowd, listen to the devil's music? Well, the pig said, we want nothing to do with it. Sue we. And they ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. They said, we'd rather be dead than have demons. Boy, they're nasty. But watch this. They that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. They come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil. Watch. This is a guy they were all scared of. This is a guy they chained him up and he broke the chains. Are you listening? This is a guy that foamed at the mouth. This is a guy that cursed. This is a guy that lived in the tombs, in the cemetery, among the dead. This is a guy they were afraid of. And he had the legions. And look at him. This is that guy. And what's it say? Sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. They began to pray him to depart out of their coast. When he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. Watch. And he departed and he obeyed. And he began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him. And look what it says. All men did marvel. Hey, don't be surprised at the peace God gives. Don't be surprised at the peace for the saved. Hey, you know what? You can't be in your right mind till Jesus saves you. I don't care who you are. It doesn't matter. Somebody said, well, they have mental problems. Till they get saved, they do. If you're here today without Christ, you have mental problems. You're not in your right mind till you get saved. I know that wouldn't go over real well in our world, would it? I don't expect Fox News to interview me anytime soon, so. You know what Jesus said in John chapter 14? He said, my peace give I unto you. Whose peace? My peace give I unto you. Not as the world giveth, my peace. We were on our way to Illinois. Gary, before his surgery, the night before his surgery, he called me and he said, Brother Rogers, he said, is there any way you could come and preach to my people on Sunday? And this was Thursday night, I think, and we left on Friday. Might have been Friday. It was before his surgery he called me. And I said, you know what? I can. And we were in the car, and all of a sudden it hit me what he was asking me. He said, my people need a pastor. And I didn't really think about it. I just thought, hey, we'll be there because you're having surgery. He said, my people need a pastor, and I need you to come. And as we're driving along and they're describing his heart being out and all that, it hit me what he was asking me. Here's what he was asking me. He was saying, will you stand up in front of my people if I die and help them? And it hit me, and it was an awesome hitting that hit me. But my Jesus gave me peace because he gives peace. How many times have you stood in a place you said, I don't ever want to be there. I can't handle it. I can't. And you did. And God gave you peace. How many times have you been the one that they said, okay, count backwards from 10. And you said, I'm scared. But then all of a sudden, he gave you peace. It's the peace, the Bible says, that passeth all understanding, because it's his peace. You think he was worried about anything when the ship was about to sink and it was filling up with water and he just looked out at the sea? Peace! Be still. Yeah. Boy, how many times has he calmed the storm in my life? Calmed the storm in your life? He's not worried about our economy, folks. He's not worried about terrorism. Oh, those Islamists, they're going to cut your head off. Yeah, you know, he's not worried about any of that. He's not worried about politics and all those kind of things and wars and rumors of wars. No. He gives, and he gives us his peace. His peace. Oh, don't be surprised at the peace for the saved. I think the very first time I really realized that peace was when my best friend was killed in the car accident. And I really, really realized what kind of peace God gives. And I saw it first when I had to tell his wife and son, his seven-year-old son, that he had died in that car wreck. And I remember, I don't know how to tell, but God gave me peace. But then I watched in the funeral, in the visitation time, and I watched his wife with 40 stitches in her head, because she was in the accident as well, and bandages all over and barely able to stand. I watched her hug people, shake people's hands, tell them it's okay, tell them she's praying for them, as they sobbed and laid their head on her shoulder and said, "I don't understand." She said, "God's in control." And I saw that peace in her life. And I said, you know, this is beyond anything the world has to offer. And my friend, God will give you peace. There's folks all over this room going through tough times. Some of you, you got a doctor's appointment. Some of you, you've already given the blood for the test. And you don't know what they're going to say. But God's going to give you peace. He's going to give you peace. Don't be surprised when that peace comes. Just say, "Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord." My wife, I told you, she hit that tire. And as soon as that happened, I mean, it was right, I got a text. And I was just getting behind the wheel myself. I thought I could maybe back up, get the wheel out and everything, and that didn't. But I just happened to look at my phone. It was Brother Chase. And he said, "Pastor, hope you're having a good trip. We're praying for your safety." And it's like God just put his arms around me and just hugged me. He said, "It's okay. It's all right." Don't be surprised when 2-3 o'clock in the morning, he shows up, wraps his arms around you and says, "It's okay. It's all right." The peace for the saved. My last point, number 5, Acts chapter 3. Turn there, and then I'm done. Acts chapter 3. Please, please, please. God told us all these things. Nothing here should be a shock to any of us. Everything here should be reviewed for those of us that have been saved a while. Number 1, don't be surprised at the position of the Son. He is God. Number 2, don't be surprised at the punishment of sinners. He's the judge. He is going to punish sinners. Number 3, don't be surprised at the plan of salvation. God always has a plan, and he has a plan of salvation. Number 4, don't be surprised at the peace for the saved that he gives. Number 5, don't be surprised at the power for service. Acts 3, verse 11. "And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, 'Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk?'" Are you listening? Why are you so shocked? I preached, I don't even remember now, Wednesday night, about Peter in prison and all the people are praying. Remember the story? I love it. Everybody's praying, begging God. And in the meantime, God's getting Peter out of prison, you know? And all the people are praying. I can hear them. They're on their face. "Oh, God, please." Because why? Because Peter's in prison. But that's not the end of the story. They had just killed James with a sword, probably chopped off his head. You know, and all the people, "We love Peter. We want his head to stay on him." Amen. You know, and they're all begging God. And then God gets Peter out. He answers their prayer, gets him out. And here comes Peter. And he's knocking on the door where all those people are praying. Shh, don't disturb us. We're praying for Peter. You know. And the maid, she sees him, says, "It's Peter." And the people say, "Now, be quiet. Now, don't interrupt us. We're praying for Peter." That's us, isn't it? Don't be surprised when God answers your prayer. Because he's powerful. The power of God. As he did here, who healed this lame man? Peter and John? Oh, you know, the charismatics and all their TV stations, they want you to think somehow they've got something to do with it. Otherwise, why would you send all your money to them? They have nothing to do with any of it. God does it all. God's power. And you know, the greatest showing of God's power is when he saves a soul. That's the greatest showing of God's power. How about Saul? We love the story. Saul, who was persecuting the church, going after God's people. He was against Jesus. And God saved his soul and called him Paul, and he became a great preacher. We have an RU program where men, women, young people can have freedom from the power of sin. We have prayer power. We talk about it, but we have people here that pray, and we see it. We have soul-winning power. Jesus said, ye shall receive power. Not a weightlifter kind of power, not like a boxer power, but power to do a work for God. Amen. And it's not us doing it. That's what Peter said. It's not us. It's God doing it. And you know what? We have to have his power if we're going to do anything for him. I understand, Brother Dale, they had we missed the staff deacon fellowship, and I understand it was a wonderful time and all of that. But Dale, you know, he challenged everybody that curtain's got to come down. How's that curtain going to come down? Well, it's going to take power. That's the only way. Again, I'm not talking, but we don't go tear it down. Preacher said this was going to be hard. That was nothing. No. How's it going to, the way it's going to take power. It's never been man doing it. It's got to be God. We can go out here and do something. Men, they have businesses. They do things. We need God's power for that to come down. Amen. Remember, you need God's power. You need his power in your life. You need his power in your marriage. You need his power with your kids. You need his power with your job. You need his power. And all of us can have. Don't be surprised at God's power for service, because he'll give it to you. He wants us to be more than conquerors. He wants us to fight and win and have victory. So let's use that power. Folks, don't be surprised. It's all here. These are things, five things. God's revealed the position of the Son, the punishment of sinners, the plan of salvation, the peace for the saved, the power for service. Don't be surprised at these things. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.